PLG is going to become the de facto go-to-market motion that powers SaaS companies of the future. Whether you like it or not, it's just everything's going that way. And so with that said, what I want to kind of emphasize is product-led growth isn't the be-all, end-all when it comes to actually building a product-led business. It's actually just half of the story.
Welcome to the SaaS Revolution Show, a podcast by SaaSDoc. Here, we interview SaaS founders from around the world who've been there and done that. They share the ins and outs of how they built their businesses, their operations, their path for securing investment, and more. Our mission with the podcast is to help you, the founder, learn how to scale your SaaS, maintain your well-being, and navigate the complexities of this ever-changing industry. I'm your host, Alex Thuma, and together we'll explore the good, the bad, and the ugly in the journey to SaaS success. All right, welcome back to the SaaS Revolution Show. I am your host, Alex Thuma, CEO, founder of SaaSDoc. Delighted to be rejoined by Wes Bush, who is the founder of Product Led. Great to see you, Wes. How are you doing? Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be back.
Yeah, I can't actually remember. It feels like it was probably about 2 years ago, something like that. I should have checked, but it's been a while. But I did get to see you in person, and I was really pleasantly surprised by your height at Dublin and SaaSDoc, because obviously I also get the same thing, right? People only see me on Zoom and they assume that I'm smaller than I am, and then when they see that you know I'm 6'2", they're always very surprised. But I think you're even taller than me, and I was just like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. But you just never know, right, over Zoom or whatever other apps. But we saw you in Dublin at the last SaaSDoc, and it was great that you kind of made that over. But understand, even by, I know you've got the Japanese background there, but you're actually in Mexico now. So what are you doing in Mexico, Wes?
Yes, I am escaping winter. So this is a new little habit I'm developing, becoming a snowbird. I am a bad Canadian, so I just escape my country for the few months of the winter while it's cold.
It's a good thing, and if you can, why not? I mean, I know a bunch of founders, and like specifically, let's say, a few people that live in Austin, where the summer can be unbearable, so they just leave for 6 months and come to Europe, right? And obviously, we know it snows a lot in Canada in the winter, and I've been to Ottawa once in the winter, and it was pretty cold. But if you've got that for 4 or 5 months, it can be probably like a little bit too much. I don't mind it for a week or two on holiday, but for a long period. So I don't blame you. And I've never been to Mexico. Are you in Mexico City?
No, it's Playa del Carmen. So just outside Cancun.
Okay, so you're on the coast, and like, are you having the time of your life? Do you recommend it? Like if I get on the next flight, you know, is that something you recommend that I should do?
Totally. Yeah, I really recommend it. I think the biggest thing here that I love is there's just a really solid community of like other entrepreneurs. And so we're all in the same area. So it's like you just do life together, whether it's like CrossFit, dinners out or anything. It's just super easy to be connected and learn from each other here too. So I like that. But the weather is a nice bonus.
Are they a lot of SaaS entrepreneurs or just in general, just entrepreneurs doing like many different things?
Yeah, just in general. For like all these different kinds of businesses for the most part.
I was hoping you was going to say SaaS entrepreneurs so we could do a SaaS.local there, and then I've got a reason to come down. Apart from my only reason is to come and see you at the moment, but whether I get that signed off on a business case or not, I'm not sure. But Wes, like, well done for escaping the snow, but let's tell the audience a little bit about who you are. So I'll ask a question. Who is Wes Bush?
Yes. Tough question. Well, besides the snowbird part, my whole kind of background is helping B2B SaaS companies really adopt, build, and scale a product-led growth motion inside their business. And so it basically started about 8 years ago for me. I was working at this company called Vidyard. We were launching a free trial, completely bombed, did not work. Then like 6 months later, with our tail behind our legs, we launched a freemium model and it just took off. And since that point, that's actually been my like little PLG to Jesus moment where I'm like, oh man, like there's this heavy slow sales-led way of selling. And then there's this product-led way, which is like, hey, listen, just try before you buy. See if you like it first. If you like it, you can purchase it on your own, transparent pricing, all that fun stuff. And since then, I've just been hooked on this stuff. And so whether it's been writing the book on product-led growth or co-authoring product-led onboarding with Ramley John, I've just been literally obsessed about how can we make it easier for more companies to build these successful product-led businesses. And so my whole kind of mission here, even on this talk, is like, I just want 100x the number of product-led businesses, because I truly believe this is the future of how people want to buy. And we just got to make it easier for businesses to make it happen.
Awesome. Awesome. And you mentioned, I mean, a video we know really well, and I know and recall that's obviously how your journey started. You also mentioned Ramley John there, who is also speaking at SaaS.USA. I don't know if I mentioned that already, but great to kind of have him at the event. So you can reunite at SaaS.Doc in Austin, and I'm sure that'll be fun. Thanks for sharing that. And so then obviously you move from Vidyard to then this journey, because you've been obsessed about product-led growth and excited around that, and you founded Product-Led. So just tell us a little bit about that, I guess kind of how, why you founded that, how that's going, what it does, et cetera.
Yeah. So like even before the business was called Product-Led, like we were helping companies figure out like how could they were getting a lot of like free trial or free users signing up. And we were basically getting hired to get more of those people signing up. And then I'd always ask the CEOs and founders, I was like, hey, like, how am I doing? How are those people? Like, are they getting value out of the product? Are they upgrading? And it was often, like, way too often, where they're like, I just don't know. And so I was like, okay, we got to answer that question, shouldn't we? They're like, yeah, I think we should. And so we would just start digging deeper, and they're like, oh man, you lost 40 to 60% of everybody, not just the people we sent, but everybody, because you had this like stupid email verification stuff. So it was like, oh, let's kill that. Why not? And so we just basically started applying CRO to like, how do we get people to value? That was our hypothesis. Like if people get to value in a free version of the product, the odds of them actually upgrading skyrocket. And so that proved to be true. And then lo and behold, like the actual word product-led growth is founded by OpenView. And I was like, oh, that's what I've been doing. But right now there's not a whole lot of like how to do PLG. So that's really where product-led kind of got started. And then we just started trying to democratize it a little bit more of like, how can we really break down the best practices and actually give people the tools to actually do this on their own? And so, yeah, that's really what we do. And right now we just help the founders and early stage go-to-market teams figure out like, how do you actually go from, you know, zero to seven figures to even eight figures in just pure product-led revenue without even needing to hire a sales team.
Awesome. And what data can you share about the company, about product-led, that could be interesting for the audience?
Yeah, I mean, we're still like a small team as well, but like we've helped over 324 SaaS companies really install what we call the product-led system. And overall, like we've been able to help generate over $1 billion in self-serve revenue across all of our clients. And so this is awesome. We just love to see that like number quadruple over the next few years, but we're really passionate about helping companies build a product and truly sell itself.
Awesome. I mean, helping companies generate over $1 billion of product-led revenue, it's a pretty impressive metric there. And I'm sure that's going to continue to grow. So great stuff on that. And what, like you mentioned that, you know, it's a small team, you know, how, I'm just kind of curious before we go into, you know, talking about your new book, which is out, but how you're going about like growing your business, like how you manage to get, let's say, these 324 SaaS companies, and you know, what does that look like, and your own journey, and maybe some lessons from that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so the one thing I'll add as a caveat when it comes to like hearing any founder talk about like how do you generate business and stuff like that, and this is taking me a little while to learn, so I'll share it, is find what you do best. So for instance, for myself, I am amazing at writing. So everything I do is going to be with that lens of like, how do I write better? Now there's other people who are like, oh, I'm awesome at recording myself on video, creating videos and all that stuff. I'm like, great, find the channel where that's like the best thing you could ever do. So for us at Product-Led, where it all starts for how we generate demand is it starts with the books. It all starts there. So I am like always usually or should be writing a book. And if I'm not writing it, I'm promoting it. So the books really unpack core insights that people need to understand, answers like some big questions that people will have on their product-led journey. And so those, when we kind of create those books, we manufacture them, all that stuff, and give them out to people, that's really what unlocks like, oh, great. Like this is a new way of thinking. It provides that insight. And so from the book itself, what's cool about it for our business is that is actually what aids our program to how do we effectively improve our program? How do we effectively get better results for our clients? And when we go through and actually implement that with the program, in like the coaching calls and everything else, we use those common questions as actual content. And what's great about that is it's already vetted. It's like our ICP, those are their questions. We just simply turn those back into whether it's a LinkedIn post, email newsletter, or anything else like that. Even when it comes to our podcast, we turn those coaching calls into like, hey, let's rehash what we went through on that call and go through the main lessons. And so everything starts off with like, okay, the writing, clarifying the theory, but then what brings our approach a little bit differently than others is like we put everything we write into practice. So before you even read a book, it's been tested on lots and lots of clients. They have seen it, they have tried it. And we go back to the writing process again when we use that feedback loop to see like, oh yeah, that didn't quite work. And so the biggest thing for us is the book that then gets repurposed into blog posts, our podcast as well. And so for us, the podcast and then SEO are like really big channels. And then LinkedIn is kind of that up and coming one where we're investing a lot more time and energy into that. That's just more of a distribution channel though.
No, it makes sense. And obviously we've seen the great success of your book and then obviously how, you know, this is helping you, grow your business, but then also then helping multiple, in the high multiples of SaaS companies out there become PLG businesses. And I guess a question on that, like we see some SaaS companies or SaaS company CEOs, they come out with books, you know, Gainsight's got their book on customer success. I can't remember, but you know, there are, you know, other books out there that folks have written, you know, for SaaS companies. Do you think that's like a blanket strategy that like many SaaS companies could come out and, you know, their CEOs could write a book that could be helpful for their distribution around their point of view? Or would that be like more kind of, I don't know, case by case, would you say?
Yeah. So I think it all comes down to like, what is the main goal of the book? So when it came to like the first book I wrote on product-led growth, I was, to be honest, in like a big race because I was like, I want to be first. I need to be first on this one. So there was like crazy timeline because there is something to be said about when you are first, you capture the majority of the attention. That was absolutely true. Like we dominate the word product-led growth. If you search for it, it's our book. That is really hard to compete with now. So we have that distribution moat advantage in our business. And so I would do that again, 100%. But when you're thinking about, okay, for our business, like we want to write something about this, it's like, is it an authority play? So if there's like a new term, like product-led growth, as an example, that could be a really awesome way, like inbound marketing by HubSpot, like they wrote the book on it. So who do you trust for inbound marketing? It's like the people who wrote the damn book on it, right? I hope. It's very trustworthy. So the other kind of big thing that I think is important and might be a reason why you might want to do that is a unique point of view. Can the founder flush that out? So one of my clients in the e-learning space, as an example, we're trying to do this right now, but it's really hard. And it's like, you know, there's Maven, which is like cohorts are the best way to learn. And then there's like companies like Circle, where it's like, you know what? Communities are actually the best way to build a creator business. And so they all have their advantages and disadvantages, but what you really want to have is a compelling point of view where people are like, ah, yeah, you speak in my language and I want to do business with you. I believe in that cause. And yes, your product perfectly fits that. So like, that's another compelling reason. The new book we're writing, it does have the point of view, it does have authority, but the biggest thing that this is changing is it's completely changed our entire business because it is what I call a business builder book. And a business builder book is really when you're trying to document how the hell do you generate your results? And how can you productize it and document it? And so when you write it out, that is, for me, one of the best ways to do it. And so our whole product-led system was created as of writing this book. We test it out with our clients and everything else like that. So if I was to sum it up, like three reasons why to write the book, it's the point of view, clarify that, build authority, or it's to actually like productize what the heck do you do and really boil it down to its simplest form and give people a really good idea as far as what that looks like. And so if you have a complex process or system, it's perfect for that.
And obviously, we've seen the, I guess, as you said, the power of your book, that being first to market, that you sort of like quite dominate that space. And you mentioned OpenView kind of really coining the term of product-led growth. And obviously, like Kyle, I look at Kyle Poyer and yourself when you think about PLG, like, you know, who should speak at SaaStock, or like, you know, who should people kind of look to and follow and read their content, read their books, right? I don't know if Kyle's got a book out, but obviously he's got great content. For sure.
He should.
He should. I'm sure it will come. But then I guess kind of second part to that is that I would say, look, there are always trends in SaaS, and people are always asking me as if I'm like some soothsayer, but obviously I speak to a lot of people in SaaS, but like at heart, I'm a community builder, a connector, and I'm not running a SaaS business myself. But I'm always being asked, you know, what are the trends, right? And if I look back at the last couple of years, I think like PLG is certainly like, you know, mostly sort of dominated, I would say, as being kind of one of the major trends and one of the major topics that's been spoken about at SaaStock events, and I'm sure others. But now kind of what I'm seeing is obviously like Gen AI is now this obviously newer trend. And it's taking most of the headlines in SaaS and, you know, at SaaS events. And this is a topic that needs to be covered. Do you foresee that in any way is going to have like an impact in the product-led growth kind of industry? Is it just that look, PLG is here to stay, but people are just talking more about Gen AI because it's something new and it's top of mind? You know, what are your thoughts around that?
I think it's honestly like pouring gasoline onto PLG. Because there were so many problems we have with product-led growth that AI solves beautifully. I'll give you just a few examples. So let's say support requests. All right, you give away a free product, you're going to get a lot more support requests. Can you solve that? Or like, how do you solve that? It's like, okay, we just add more humans to the equation. It's like, no. We use an AI-enabled support tool now that will deflect 50%, maybe 80% of the common support requests, and it will solve it better, faster than a human. Awesome. Okay, now PLG is enabled way faster. When it comes to understanding like what is the best flow or best way to get users to value, it can then sit across your entire platform and analyze, okay, how do we get people to value faster? It could personalize those journeys. When it comes to onboarding, I've already seen this in onboarding. It's awesome. It's like, ask a few questions about you. Boom, here's your custom setup that's literally just built for you with AI. So it's going to accelerate the time to value. It's going to accelerate like how inexpensive it gets to actually serve more people for free. And so we're going to see people even giving away for more for free at that level with the better level of service. And so I'm honestly just excited for it because I don't think it's like a competition of like, is AI going to take over? PLG is going to take over. I just see like that combo. I want to be part of that because that is the sweet spot, and so many of PLG's biggest challenges could be aided with AI.
Good to know. And we shouldn't forget about the PLG content, you know, at SaaStock, even though, you know, Gen AI is the big buzzword there. And clearly we're not, as we have you speaking at the next SaaStock USA and Rami John and, you know, many others. And Esben from UserFlow as well, probably the tallest man in SaaS. You're the second.
I think I'm taller than Esben.
Oh, really?
We measured.
Okay.
Not that it's a competition.
Well. But yeah, obviously he's done great. Built a product led, as you know, a SaaS company.
Definitely.
With three people, awesome. 4 million ARR, and had a 60 million exit. Like, so excited to learn more about that at the event. Let's talk about your book. I feel like I've been plugging SaaS.USA like more than usual. But now we can talk about your book and the opportunity, not only to plug it and tell us why you're writing a new book. What's the difference between this one and the book that you've already written? But then let's, you know, share some learnings here before people can get their hands on it. So maybe they can start, you know, implementing some of that stuff today and then obviously sign up and buy the book also.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. Do you want me to just go through like a quick high-level overview?
Yeah, like what's the book called? Like why are you writing a second book? You know, what's the difference? We're going to kind of start there and then maybe just share some of like a few key learnings that are within it.
Definitely. All right. So the book is called Product-Led, The Modern Approach to Scaling Up. And so what the book is and how it's different than the first one on product-led growth, like product-led growth, think about that one as like, hey, here's what this is. Is this the right approach for our business? Here's some ways to decide if product-led growth makes sense for your business. This book, I don't even spend a single line trying to convince anybody to become product-led, because at this point in the journey, you should know it's like PLG is going to become the de facto go-to-market motion that powers SaaS companies of the future. Whether you like it or not, it's just everything's going that way. And so with that said, what I want to kind of emphasize is product-led growth isn't the be-all end-all when it comes to actually building a product-led business. It's actually just half of the story. And so what I mean by that is when you look at how most companies implement product-led growth, they just look at the surface. And so they'll look at like, oh, okay, we'll analyze like Slack, Miro, all the like public product-led companies that are successful. And they'll say like, you know what? What do they have? They have a great free trial freemium model. They have transparent pricing, great onboarding, and you know, maybe they have a great free offer. Like, so most companies just like, they build that out, they have that checklist. And then like 3 to 6 months later, they kind of come to me, they're like, PLG doesn't work. It's a fraud. They're a little pissed off. Like, why are users not upgrading? And so this is why I'm writing this book, is because so many companies have tried and failed at product-led growth. But the reason, back to that initial point, is like they're only solving half of the picture. The other half is all about what actually supports product-led growth. And so what I'm advocating is you actually need to have the product-led organization that will support product-led growth to actually make it work. And that will look like, how do you like nail down your company level strategy that will actually support PLG? You don't even have to call it PLG, but you got to get clear on that. Getting clear on who your ideal user is, building the right team so you actually have the right capabilities to support PLG. And things like tracking the data, making sure the metrics scorecards are all related to the product-led motion, and then making sure you actually have a growth process in place for your entire team to actually focus in on and support that product-led motion from an ongoing perspective. And so what I'm kind of getting at here is product-led growth is basically the yin to the product-led organization yang. And together, you want to build that complementary unit. And it's not just about like, we need to have a product-led organization, we need to have PLG. It's about, we need to integrate these really well together for it to work. And so to get to the 10 mil and beyond with a product-led business, you have to do this. And what I kind of go through is just these 9 core components that you need to go through in a strategic order to actually make some massive action in this process.
Awesome. Makes a lot of sense. And I guess you probably heard it more than I, but I can recall like conversations with founders who, let's say, they've been purchased by private equity, and private equity says, you need to become product led. And then they're trying to figure out, how do we do this, right? And then, you know, perhaps in part, maybe their first way of doing it is, we need to create, you know, a freemium tool. But I think, like, you know, these founders have shared that, given that the organization and or the SaaS company has been going for 10 years, you know, it's clearly inherently within the organization, not a product-led business. It hasn't been born product-led. So to transition to that, you know, it's not just adding a free or, a freemium tool. Like, it's good to hear, as you said, you've got to start from organizational level and you kind of think about this. And, you know, I wonder to date how many non-native product-led companies who believe they have to be have actually, you know, done that and really kind of thought about it. Maybe they have, right? We haven't had those conversations. So will be kind of really interesting to read the book and learn what you need to do to get that other 50%, right? Beyond, putting in some free tools.
The slight nuance I think a lot of people need to hear is like, basically where you're trying to go from is go from implementing PLG to how do we actually integrate this into our entire business? And it's a slight nuance, but it's really important because it's like, think of your organization as like, it's creating the ideal environment for PLG to actually succeed. That is what's really the 80-20 here that a lot of people miss. Is not just something you slap straight on. And you're like, we're PLG now. You got it, but it won't last. That's the problem.
You mentioned, I think before we hit the record button, that I think you just kind of like finish a chapter or a section that may be a little bit like controversial. I wonder if you can share a little bit about why you think that is. And yeah, I don't know if I have a point of view I can share on it. I could either say, oh, where's that? It's too controversial. Take it out of the book and, you know, it'll be out. But I'm sure it'll be fine. But I'm always interested in controversy. So please do share.
Well, this is funny because I definitely take it what I just said was not controversial, because that was that kind of like sticky point of view where it's like a lot of people just see product-led growth is like, this is the be-all, end-all. But then there's like this second half that everybody forgets. And then it's about the actual integration of these two forces into one kind of cohesive unit. That is basically the perspective shift I'm trying to get people to do. So yeah, curious to hear your take on that.
Yeah, no. Well, I guess then we've already covered it. I think it feels like you're right. I mean, I probably, perhaps even before like going into this podcast, would be thinking that, of course, like either a lot of SaaS companies today are born, you know, product led and, you know, like Calendly or something like that. And then they have this kind of, you know, features within that is just naturally PLG. And because they're born product led, they're just natively the organization becomes this product led organization. But then those that are not, and there are, you know, thousands and thousands of them, right, that are not. They probably are not thinking about this other 50%. So I don't think that's controversial at all. I think just people perhaps not thinking about it in the right way. And personally, I hadn't spent too much time thinking about it, but I think it makes sense. So coming together, you know, these two yin and yang, you know, being cohesive makes a lot of sense. So nothing controversial at all.
All right. Got to stir the pot more then. For the SaaS stock USA.
Like
talk.
If you're calling that controversial, like I don't know, we need to add something more onto it. But everybody's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Wes. Like it makes a lot of sense. Good stuff. Well, look, when is the book out, by the way?
Yes, it comes out August.
August. Also plenty of time. Like you're not delaying it, so it's just being released before SaaS stock in October, by any chance.
Well, yes. No. It's just there a good go. Time, I think. Yeah. Before busy conference season, I think it'll hopefully be a good time.
that does make sense. I think April Dunford did something similar, and we ended up seeing she spoke at SASOC last October and then probably about 20 other conferences as well. So it does make sense. Very smart. Good stuff. Well, obviously we do another like shout out to where people can get the book at the end of the podcast. Let's just go quickly into the quick-ish fire round now, Wes. So would love to know what one thing has moved the needle the most for you in your career.
Aggressively learning, and like not when you're thinking about like, hey, I'm not good at this or something like that. It's usually because you're skill deficient. And so just attacking that learning first thing every morning on like, hey, this is what my focus is, and being intentional with that learning. So intentional learning, there you go.
Love that. Intentional, aggressive learning. Intentional, aggressive, controversial learning. what about the best advice you've ever received?
Attitude is everything. And because it truly is. Like how you do everything, like that's important, but the attitude around it, like if things are tough, have a good attitude. If things are great, still have a good attitude, but you can't control any other variable, but attitude is the only thing you can't control. So that's why it's everything.
People make mistakes all the time in their professional career, and especially when, you know, building businesses, right? And we learn a lot from those. So what's like a big mistake or, you know, failure that you've made and lesson learned from that?
So... the one job, full-time job I had, I got fired from. And I would consider that, I mean, from the outside looking in, a mistake or whatever, failure, whatever you want to call it, because that's most people call it like, oh yeah, getting canned is not a good thing. But what I learned from that was the most ever. Like it changed my life in so many great ways because I learned that the environment I was in, it wasn't where I thrived. And that's all it was. Like I still am great at challenging people. I still am great at coming up with strategic ideas and bring them to leadership team, all that stuff. But like in that environment, you know what? It was like probably rubbing my boss the wrong way, all that stuff, because I was this junior person, all that stuff. But it's like in consulting, oh yeah, like that's, people pay like a lot to have somebody like that who's going to be okay echoing their opinion with some strategy behind it that makes sense. And so that's really an awesome learning, but failure as well too.
Still on good terms with Michael?
Yes. No. I speak highly of Vidyard. I love them, support them. It just wasn't the right place for me at that point.
Makes sense. What's the hardest thing about doing what you do?
It's alignment. Getting the entire team bought in and creating a leadership team that is okay challenging each other. There's way too many teams out there that it's just the CEO runs the show. And they're like, oh yeah, it sounds great. But actually creating team leads that will challenge their boss and create that environment is really important to build incredible strategies, incredible teams, and these other nine components I'm talking about in the product-led system. But what I find hard is sometimes creating that environment where everybody feels safe to do that. And because it's just the results speak for themselves when you do have a team like that.
And final one, obviously outside of your book that's been published and the one that's going to be published in August, maybe September. What is your favorite book on business and why?
All right. So this book was not necessarily the favorite because it was really long. Good to Great by Jim Collins. I loved one concept of it, which was the hedgehog concept. And why I love that concept so much is because it's so relevant to whether it's your career or your business. How do you really find your sweet spot? And so in the hedgehog concept, there's three things that go on. There's like this first little bubble, which is like, hey, like, what are you passionate about? What excites you? The second bubble is, you know, what actually drives your economic engine, which is another fancy word of saying like, hey, what are people willing to pay you a lot of money for? And then the third sweet spot is, what could you actually become best in the world at? So regardless if you're thinking about this from your career standpoint or your company standpoint, it's a really awesome activity to go through. And I can echo this in my own like 7-year entrepreneurial journey where it's like, I started with the economic engine part. That was a year where I was like, okay, found the money, but then this sucks. Second year, kind of tried to find a bit more of like the energy piece. I was like, oh wow, this is like, you can enjoy work, make good money, all that stuff. And then like, it took about 3 or 5 years to find like, oh yeah, this could be something I could become the best in the world at and hone in on this area and build the organization around me to support that. So I love that concept. So that's well worth buying the book to just get that.
Yeah. I mean, anything written by Jim Collins has to be essential reading for, well, certainly any entrepreneur. Awesome. Good stuff. Well, as we come to a close, we have mentioned, obviously, you're speaking at SaaS USA, which is May the 13th to the 15th in Austin. Are you going to be speaking about the book? It's a little bit too soon to do the book tour. Curious to know, what are you speaking about? What are you also looking forward to, apart from measuring your height with Esben and seeing who, you know, if he's grown a little bit, now he's got 60 million in the bank, yeah. Or whether, you know, has he grown a bit? Is he standing on it? What are you speaking about and looking forward to?
Well, definitely telling Esben I'm taller than him. Yeah. Because
he's going to say I'm richer than you though, Wes.
Yeah, might be true. Yeah. But then for the other parts, yeah, for the talk, we're going to be talking a little bit about how to actually scale a 8-figure plus product-led business. And so we're going to go through that product-led system, what that looks like, how you can actually identify like what those 9 core components are that you need to implement in your business, what is the exact order you need to implement them in. And we'll also talk about that controversial point of view on what you might be doing wrong with PLG and what you should be doing differently. And so, yes, it will absolutely 100% be a preview of the book. And just for the SaaS talk folks, I might even give you a free copy where you can review an early version of it. So stay tuned. Join.
There we go. Well, I think that session sounds amazing, and I think worth the price of admission on its own. Certain guaranteed ROI there, and I think we're also going to have a lot of fun in Austin, as it's a great city, and we're going to have so many great people there as well. So that's awesome. Where can people find you online, and you know, can they pre-register for the book at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. Just head on over to productled.com. You'll find the book on our homepage. That's where you can kind of sign up for the waitlist, start reading the first three chapters for free. And then if you want to learn more from myself, you can just find me on LinkedIn, just at Wes Bush.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Wes, thank you so much for being a great guest on the SaaS Revolution show today. Really looking forward to seeing you in Austin. We should probably get a picture of myself, you and Esben together, the giants of PLG, but I would probably be dwarfed. the giants and the dwarf of PLG, but actually I have no credit to anything sort of PLG related, but it'll be fun nonetheless. But we'll see you then. Thank you so much for sharing with the SaaS Talk community once again. Thank you so much, Wes Bush.
There is. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the SaaS Revolution show. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you learned something from it, check out saasdoc.com/events to find all the upcoming SaaSdoc conferences around the world. Want exclusive SaaS content and actionable insights to grow your SaaS? Join our community of over 36,000 SaaS founders at saasdoc.com.